Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My first Easter as a priest, I was still in Europe finishing up my studies. And during the week of Easter, I had the opportunity to visit Krakow in Poland. And so I was there on Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, and there's a great big shrine just outside the limits of Krakow, and it's the shrine of the Divine Mercy. So I thought, I better not be in Krakow on Divine Mercy Sunday without going to the Divine Mercy Shrine. However, I had to catch my plane back to Rome that morning, and so I had to be at the shrine very early, which for me was 6:30. Pretty early on a Sunday morning for most people. So I thought, well, surely at that hour, there won't be that many people there. It'll be kind of quiet. I'll be able to check out the place and pray a little bit and then be on my way. But when I arrived, I saw that the place was swarming with people. People were everywhere. And there was going to be a mass celebrated at 8 o'clock that morning by one of Pope John Paul II's very closest friends. So I made my way to the sacristy with a little help. And I don't speak any Polish, so I was very grateful that there were some people there who spoke quite a bit of English. And so I made my way to the sanctuary and concelebrated Mass. Don't ask me how that happened in Polish, but I did my best. But what was most impressive about that event, what remains most vivid in my mind, is to see how that huge chapel at the shrine was packed with people. People were standing in the aisles along the front. They were all up the stairs to the choir loft. The loft was filled. There were well over 1,000 people there to celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday at the shrine. And I figured, well, this is probably only the first of many masses that are going to be offered this day, and probably all of them are going to be packed. So why are these people flocking here to this shrine on Divine Mercy Sunday for Mass, or just to visit the shrine? I thought, well, Polish people are generally known for their devotion. It's a very Catholic country. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it. I could see on the faces of the people their devotion. And I could tell by the way they carried themselves. I could see their faith. It's hard to explain, but I could see in the way they carried themselves in their comportment their devotion to God. And I knew that they were there because they had experienced the divine mercy. They knew forgiveness. They knew the tender and compassionate love of God. And they probably came there to say thank you to God, but also because they wanted more. They wanted a deeper experience of that same love, and that's why they were there. I think it's wonderful for us to have that sense of devotion and that desire to experience God's love. Would that that would grow within our hearts day after day. But we must not either forget a very important dynamic in the Christian life, namely that the disciple must become the apostle. The disciple is one who comes to Jesus as a follower, one who strives to pattern his or her life after the model of Jesus' life. It's one who comes to Jesus and is close to him, one who sits at the feet of Jesus to learn, to encounter him, to meet him. And that is a necessary part, of course, of all of our Christian journey. But Jesus says that's not where it ends. There is a purpose in our coming to him as disciples, and it is not only for our own growth in holiness and the growth of our spiritual life. He calls us to himself so that he can send us out into the world. Look at the scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, those who encountered the Lord didn't just keep it to themselves and say, okay, I'm going to let this be a great moment for me to grow in my own holiness. I'm going to grow in my relationship with God through this event. They did, but they also went out and told everyone what happened. Likewise with the disciples. Jesus called them, and then he sent them out. They went out preaching the good news, curing the sick, healing those who were oppressed by all kinds of different afflictions. They did the things that Jesus was doing. They were doing it in his name. But they didn't just come to him and say, okay, it's so wonderful, Lord, to be with you. I'm just going to spend the rest of my life right here. Yes, we do have to keep ourselves with the Lord the rest of our lives. But the point is, he sends us. In today's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And notice that the very next thing that he says is, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. When he sends them out, the first thing he talks about is mercy. Mercy. So he's basically saying, I am making you missionaries. I'm sending you on a mission into the world to bring mercy. As you have experienced mercy, as each one of you has experienced the mercy, the forgiveness, the tender compassion of God, so he is sending you into the world. In your marriages, in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, everywhere you go. The grocery store, the post office, the bank, wherever you're going, he has sent you to be an apostle, a missionary, to bring his mercy into that place. But how well do we do at bringing God's mercy into the world? It's all too easy, as we all know, to hold a grudge, to remain in unforgiveness of those who have harmed us, those who have smeared our name, perhaps, those who have talked about us behind our back. It's all too easy sometimes to see someone who is struggling and in pain and heavily burdened and to sort of withdraw and not step out with courage and offer a word of consolation. It's too easy to not be a missionary of mercy, frankly. But our calling is to be agents of the goodness and the love of God. Jesus sends us. He's breathed on us his Holy Spirit and said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Go and forgive. Bring the love of God into the world. Show people what it means to love. Show people what it means to forgive. And I can assure you that as we are faithful to the call to be agents of mercy, and people experience God's mercy through us, through the words that we say and the deeds that we do, they will be drawn to that. Not to us personally, that's not the point. They will be drawn into a relationship with the one who is mercy himself. By our extending mercy to others, people will be drawn to the mercy of God. And we can tell them, we know exactly the place where they can experience that mercy in a profound way. Right here. Right here. And so, we have to remember that we are not only called to follow, but as disciples, we are also sent as apostles into the world. Not to do our own good deeds, not to do things in our own name, but to remember that it is Jesus who stands in our midst. He is the one who enables us to extend his great mercy to everyone we meet.